There is nothing greater than a life that is given over to Jesus, that is committed to Christ. Salvation, the greatest gift, church. And we got to be a part of that tonight. We got to experience, we got to be a part of that. We got to usher him into the kingdom and the decision that he made for Christ and prayed right alongside him and with him. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. It just gets better and better from this point forward. God's going to start revealing things to you, teaching you things in his word. You're going to become strong in Christ. You're going to be strong in him. Amen. You're going to have clarity of things that didn't make any sense before are going to start making sense now. Why? Because the Spirit of God is within you now. You're going to have a different mindset. You have the mind of Christ. And now it's like your desires even start to change. He will do it. And desires will start to change. Why? And unto what? Unto him. And you're going to find things that used to satisfy don't satisfy anymore. This is a process many times. But all of a sudden, it's the only thing that satisfies you will be him. And all that he gives you, it's what he gives, not what we try to get on our own. But it's beautiful indeed. It's beautiful. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, good evening, church. It's been great to worship with each one of you tonight. I say that we broke some strongholds. What do you think? I think we broke through some barriers. I think that there's some victory that took place here tonight in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We're going to keep that which we received tonight, right? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right. Tonight is our family service. So we have our kids tonight here, and they're going to, at the end, they're going to come up and they're going to do our announcements and they're going to close us out in a prayer and such. Praise the Lord. We love raising up these little ones. She's like, yay, that's right. Amen. If you have your Bibles here tonight, I'm going to ask you to grab your Bibles and just be ready. Be ready to, we're going to go to Hebrews pretty soon. So you can put your finger in Hebrews, but it'll be a little bit before we get there. Amen. Father, I thank you. And the way you moved in this worship service tonight, I thank you you're going to move as the word is being preached. And I thank you, Lord God, that eyes are going to be open to see and ears are going to be open to hear and lives are going to be changed because your word is being preached. And when the word is preached, lives change, people change, we change. So we thank you, Father, for this word that changes us on the inside. It doesn't change, it changes us. So I thank you for the change that's happening in us because the word that never changes is being preached in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Already preaching good. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we have been encountering the King of Glory. Have we not? Every service encountered by the King of Glory. I like the way that sounds. That sounds like a book title to me. Encountered by the King of Glory. That sounds really, really good. Oh, I like that. But Paul's life was completely changed. And according to his testimony, you can read his testimony in Acts 22. We're not going there today, but you can write it down. You can read his testimony in Acts 22. But his life was changed because he had an encounter with the glory of God that completely transformed his mindset. I mean, completely transformed his heart. Amen? Amen? And so, as I told you before, we've been experiencing this realm of glory. And I've told you this, that many years ago, the Lord said to me, your life will be marked by the realms of glory. And he says, I'm going to teach you how to walk in the realms of glory. And boy, has he done that. And he continues to teach more. And he continues to reveal more and more and more. And as that takes place, there is a corporate blessing that is happening. There is a corporate outpouring because of the glory realm that he has called us to walk in. So I'm called to walk in the realm of glory, his glory. And I'm called to release that realm here on earth. We're going to release it every single day. Amen. We release it every single day. Amen. And recently, I've shared this with you, that recently the Lord told me, I want you to start speaking and teaching on the realm of glory. And so that's what we've been doing. And guess what's taking place? Faith is increasing. Your faith is rising up and it's grabbing a hold of the promises of God like never before. Amen? Is this true or am I making this up? This is 100% true. Amen? It's so powerful. It's like, you know, when I wrote down this message, you know, he was like, look at the faith that's increasing all throughout the room. Every single service. Every single service. Amen. And so those of us who walk with Jesus, which in this room is every single one of us. Amen. Those of us who walk with Jesus have experienced this realm of glory. and we continue to experience it in increasing measures. Amen. What does that do to us? It causes us to be hungrier for him. And that's what happened with Moses. That's what took place with Moses. Moses, even after all the encounters that Moses had, remember he had a lot of encounters, right, in Exodus? He had a lot of encounters with the Lord. And what did he say in Exodus 33, 19? This is a man that was encountered by the Lord over and over and over. After all of these encounters, you would think he might say something a little different. But instead, in Acts 33 and 18, you can turn there if you want to. I mean, he says, show me your glory. He already was shown his glory time and time again as the burning bush was on fire, but it didn't burn up. He was already shown the glory as he heard from this burning bush the voice of God. He was shown the glory, but yet what was his ask? Show me your glory. Never, ever get tired of or make light of this invitation that God has given us to ask, show me your glory. Show me your glory. You're changed because of the glory. You're changed because you're seeing the way you were always supposed to see. But now you're starting to see it. So when he said, show me your glory, this was spoken from a man that was already walking in experience of the glory. And he still continued to ask for the same. Will we, as people of God that have been experiencing the realm of God's glory, continue to say, oh God, show me your glory? Because we will never outdo or see all that God has for us. Amen. And the very, very next verse, the Lord responds. The very, very, very next verse, Exodus 33, 19. He says, then he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you. He says, show me your glory. And he says, I will make all my goodness pass before you. Stop right there. Show me your glory. I'm showing you my goodness. Show me your glory. All of my goodness is going to pass before you. It is the goodness of God that is the realm of God's glory. Well, he shows you how good he really is. And when we have eyes to see, hearts to understand, it is the goodness of God that we are being invited into. Realms of God's glory is becoming more and more and more common for us, which is a good thing. So there are degrees. There are degrees or manifestations. There are degrees of the awareness. And I think that's better said. There are degrees of the awareness of God's glory. In other words, the more that you start to want it, hunger for it, expect for it, ask for it, show me your glory, the more that you start to, you're able to see. Oh, if we could just see fully, which he is starting to show because we're coming before him. Asking the same thing. So tonight I want to talk about the realm of glory and faith because they go hand in hand. I titled it Aggressive Faith and God's Glory. Aggressive Faith and God's Glory. Now, are we at Hebrews? Hebrews 10. Hallelujah. Devil's so defeated. We're called to terrorize him. That's what we're called to do. And boy, do we do it. And we won't stop. Oh, he's threatened by your understanding of this message. You guys get that, right? He doesn't want you to walk in no realm of glory because let me tell you, he's defeated every single time, even without you speaking to it. I'm going to call it an it. Hebrews 10:38, it says, now the just shall live by faith. The just, the righteous in Christ, you're justified because of Christ's work on the cross for you. The just shall live by faith. We're justified, we're made right in Christ because of Christ. And we shall live by what? Faith. We shall live by faith. The word goes on to say, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. We're not drawing back. We're not shrinking back. We're not going to diminish. We're not going to let our faith diminish. We're not going to let our faith get weak. It's up to us. It's our job to keep our faith strong in the Word of God. Right? Amen. How? By reading, by allowing Him to saturate us every single time we open up the Word. It gets in the inside of us and He brings light. He brings understanding even to the simple. He will enlighten who you are in Christ, to show you who you are in Christ. So we're called to live by faith, the God kind of faith, not a passive faith.
Lord, because of faithful partners like you, we are now in so many homes throughout the world, north, south, east, and west. God is expanding this ministry. I am just in awe. I wanted to take a moment right now and just thank you and encourage you as you continue to sow your seed. And for some of you, prayerfully consider becoming partners with us at this ministry, because lives are being changed. People are getting saved, healed, and delivered. Men and women of God are being fostered up, being raised up to stand for truth. So partner with us on a monthly basis as the Lord leads, because the seed that you sow in the ground is for the eternal purposes of God. Amen. God bless you. Let's get back to
this. Okay. Not an I hope so kind of faith. Not a weak faith. I have too many Christians that will say, I hope so, I hope so. Well, I mean, it just reveals a level of faith and where they're at. But that's not the kind of faith you're called to live in, church. We are called to live in the faith that transforms situations, that turns things around so that what God already paid on the price with through Jesus, the Son, actually comes to pass in your life and on your watch. The God kind of faith that moves mountains. The God kind of faith that scares demons. The God kind of faith, not the I hope so. I hope so. Man, I hope so. And then I hear some, oh, knock on wood. Well, that's completely unbiblical. You can knock on wood all you want, but it's going to do nothing for you. I'll tell you that much. Nothing at all. You can knock on wood. You can say, I good luck. You can say all that. It's going to do absolutely nothing except for expose that you still have idols in your life. Still have idols. We trust in Jesus. Our hope is in Christ. Our faith is because of he rose from the grave. That's where our confidence remains. Amen? So if anyone draws back, you ever think about that phrase, draws back, means regresses or loses territory. Okay, regresses or loses territory. It displeases God. We're not going to regress. We're not going to allow even a moment of weakness. We all have them. We're not going to allow a moment of weakness to plague our whole life, to dictate our whole life. You have a moment of weakness. It's time to get back up and say, well, devil, you're still defeated. And you need to shout out the goodness of God. And you need to shout out who you are as a daughter or a son of the Most High God and speak forth the truth that you're victorious and that will never change. Never. See, the enemy is banking on you regressing or losing territory. So how does someone regress? How does someone lose territory? Because I think it happens often, and it happens sometimes without us even understanding or even seeing it. It happens like this. When you entertain what God has not promised, when we entertain in our thoughts what God has not promised. You know, those fears, those worries that start to creep up, and what happens, and what if, and oh no, oh my goodness, Lord, please help, Lord, oh no. You know that worry that tries to take over? When that takes place and you start thinking on that a little too much, there's a regression that's taking place. You got to stop it right away. Do you know what worry is? If you look at that word and you look up that word, it's like putting a chokehold on somebody. It's like a strangulation. Worry does nothing other than choke you to death. The root of the word. You can look it up. To choke someone. That's why when people go, oh, I'm worried for you. Tell them, you might as well stop because you're not choking me to death. I'll tell you that much. And you should say, don't worry for me. You rejoice in the God of salvation who lives on the inside of me. Now, I'm saying this because we all need to grow. We all need to learn, and we all need to grow, because the devil's banking on us not understanding what I'm speaking tonight, but I know that you're going to hear it, and I know that you're going to walk in it. So you have encountered the King of Glory many, many times, and you know God is real. You know the power of God is real, right? And when we know that the enemy is defeated, absolutely, 100%. So how do you refuse what God has not promised? We are to refuse what God has not promised. Say, I'm going to refuse what God has not promised. How? By talking to it. Open your mouths, will you? Open your mouths and talk to what you need to talk to. Faith will talk to things with your mouths open, not internally. Some people go, I'm talking. Talk the word to your worries. Talk the word. I thank you that my God is good. I thank you my God is faithful. I mean, you need to, you know how Paul says, I preach myself happy? Well, you need to preach yourself happy sometimes. You need to pray yourself happy sometimes. You need to speak the word into you and into yourself so that you become happy. And we all, and we all need to do this, right? And so it works in every area of life. Faith puts power in your offering. Remember, aggressive faith. We're talking about aggressive faith in the glory of God tonight. I got some testimonies to share with you. I can't wait to get to them. But faith, it puts power in your offering. So when we give, we don't give in doubt, right? We don't give in doubt. When you give in faith, it is an excellent offering unto the Lord when you give in faith. Amen? How do we know? Because death and life are in the power of the tongue. When we give, we're going to give. We're going to give speaking the word of truth that we are hilarious givers. This is not a tithing message. But it's a message that to show you how in every area of life, you're going to walk in the power of God in strong faith, aggressive faith, with the glory of God right there. Powerful. Amen. Okay. Thank you, Father. Well. Aggressive faith refuses what God has not promised. That's what we need more of. To refuse what God has not promised. People take it too much. They just easily take what God has not promised. They just take it in. Really? Is that what's? Oh, no. Refuse what God has not promised. And only accept what he has. Now, I know that you're taking this in. I see many of you writing it. Great. Praise God. Refuse to receive. That sounds like someone that is strong in the Lord that will not let the enemy's tactics just have their way. People go, man, you're strong. As it should be. We're strong in the Lord. He didn't make wimps. He didn't make cowards. You carry resurrection power. That's not cowardly, is it? Aggressive faith refuses what God has not promised. And aggressive faith brings you into the glory with eyes to see. Hallelujah. I want to share three different testimonies. The first testimony is a testimony of blood disease being healed. Because what I'm talking about tonight, faith in every area. Healing, finances, relationships, every area of your life. You will be able to walk an aggressive type, which means powerful faith to move mountains in every area of life, if you get what I'm saying. And you don't allow the enemy's words and what he's promising you to have their way. Okay, so blood disease healing. Some of you were here when this took place. I spoke to Donna Turner yesterday. Some of you guys know who she is, and you remember some of the healing testimonies that she has received here at the House of Glory. So yesterday I was talking to Donna, and she testified. She testified on the phone with me that 4 years ago she received healing in her, it was a hemoglobin healing, so in her blood. Right? And she says, you know, ever since that day when I came and you prayed and received that healing in my blood, she goes, I have never suffered not one day from that day 4 years ago. That is, I'm going to tell you the details of it. I had to write it down, but I'm going to tell you in a moment. But that's the in a nutshell. She has not, get away from here in Jesus' name. Little bug. She has not suffered, not one moment. Now, I'm like, wow, I got to tell you that the details, because she goes, I just want to testify. And she's on the phone. I just want to testify. I am still healed. She goes, it's a miracle. I'm like, yeah, that's a miracle. Tell me the details. She says, it was a life-threatening blood disease. Life-threatening. She says, my hemoglobin had dropped to 5.8, which she said was deadly. It's deadly. And she was receiving, listen to this, 4 units of blood every single month. Every single month, she would have 4 units. She was having a transfusion every single month, right? Doctors told her that she was going to have these blood infusions for the rest of her life. She was going to have these blood infusions for the rest of her life. Wow. We know that's not good, right? And she was miraculously healed by the power of God. And she went back to the doctors after she received prayer. She went back to the doctors and she said that her numbers, which were previously 5.8, went up to 14.8. And that doesn't really mean anything to us, except for that it's a higher number, right? And then she said, but the average, like where it's supposed to be for a woman, she said is anywhere between 12 and 15. 4 years ago, and she said that my numbers are still 14.8. That's like 15 is perfect. 15 is perfect. She was down to 5.8, and 12 is the lowest it can be, or that it should be. That's how deadly, how dangerous it was. And she says, you know, I think that God's keeping it at 14.8 on purpose, just to kind of always remember. It's kind of like Jacob and the limp. He says, just to kind of remind me of my hand upon his hand upon my life. I'm like, yeah, probably so. Probably so. So she says, my numbers have never dropped back down. You know, I say this because you know what? That's a huge miracle. I mean, this is incredible, right? I'm like, well, the next time you come, we need to re-record you 4 years later, right? And then she says, well, remember my, how many of you guys know who I'm talking about? You know, she's full of energy, isn't she? She's just so fun. She's full of energy. If you get a word in edgewise, you're doing good. We love her, but she won't stop talking. So I was writing it. She's talking like, oh my gosh, she's so excited. And she is excited herself. And so she said, remember, I had a torn rotator cuff. I said, oh, I remember. She goes, that was 5 years ago. I was so glad she was giving me all these details. I'm like, yeah, that was 5 years ago. I can't believe it was 5 years ago. But okay, 5 years ago. She said, yeah, 5 years ago I had that injury. So my torn rotator cuff. And she said, and it was also a detached bicep. And she says, I was in excruciating pain, right? And the doctors wanted her to do surgery. And she came for prayer. She came for prayer. She said, God touched my shoulder. He totally healed my shoulder. She said that 5 years ago this took place. And she says, and for 5 years, she goes, I have never had another problem with that shoulder. Never. Never had another problem with that. Okay, why am I saying these testimonies? Because our faith needs to rise. There's a level. You know what? There's no sickness in the glory realm of God. There's literally no sickness. There's no pain in the realm of glory. And so we're called to access that realm, and we're called to walk in it. And so we can't let unbelief or doubt, which is the opposite of faith, keep us from operating in a realm we're called to operate in, because we carry the name of Christ. Amen? And so my endeavor tonight is to increase your faith from wherever you are at today, to let that faith even rise more, let it rise even more, so that you grab a hold of all of the promises of God, every single promise of God. Because if God did it for one person, he wants to do it for you too, right? We know that God is, he is the healer. He is the healer. The word says he heals you of all of your diseases. And in Psalm 103, he says, I am the Lord God who heals you. He says, I heal you of all of your diseases. In Isaiah 53:5, by his stripes, we already are healed. We are healed, which means we already are healed. And we get to stay healed and whole. Amen. And in Mark 1:41, Jesus spoke to the leper. And he says, if you're willing. And he says, oh, I am willing. Be cleansed. God is always willing. And he's always ready to heal, right? Amen? Thank you, Lord, because you are the God who healeth thee. He heals us, amen? And then there's another testimony. This is the last one for healing that I want to share. But this was 2 weeks ago. And this is a lady that comes on Thursday, on her Thursday midweek service. Her name is Karen. And when she comes back, like next week, if she's here next week, I need to get her testimony. I need to get her recorded. She's very quiet, and she's really, she's just, her, that's just her personality, right? But I'm going to have to explain to her, this is a huge thing that God did for you. You know, like, let's testify, you know, so we can get it recorded. But Karen was healed 2 weeks ago of a lifetime of deafness in her right ear. A lifetime. She's a mom. She has children now, just to kind of put it in perspective for those that don't know her. A lifetime of deafness in her right ear. She came and she received prayer. She wasn't even asking for prayer for healing, by the way. It was something else, completely different. And you know, the way she was kind of turning her head and act as if she couldn't hear me. And she says, I can't hear out of this ear. I said, well, shouldn't you be asking me for prayer then for that? And she didn't, honestly, she really didn't have faith for it. And I said, Karen, God wants to heal your ear, your hearing. And she goes, well, she had gotten used to living like that. And I can understand how somebody would get used to that. And so she wasn't really even pressing in for it. I said, no, God wants to heal your hearing right now. I said, can you agree with me so that you can get your hearing back? And she kind of looked at me. She goes, okay. You know, she's just real quiet. You know, she says, okay. And so we prayed. We prayed, right? And then she told me the story because immediately God opened up her hearing. Like immediately God opened up her hearing. She covered her eyes so she wasn't reading my lips, right? And then I says, what am I saying? And she was able to, and she also blocked her ear that she was hearing. And she was able to hear everything that I was saying. And I was scoot over and she still was hearing me. And this was after service. Sometimes some of these healings take place after. I think some people are just more comfortable to wait. I don't know. But she did say that what took place is when she was two years old, something took place. It was a traumatic incident. She just kept telling me trauma, some kind of a trauma. And it's when she lost her hearing. Now, they didn't discover it until she was in her fourth grade. In fourth grade, you know, school, tests, whatever, somebody noticed it, right? I mean, she was relying heavily on her left side to hear. And so the doctors told her, by the way, surgery wouldn't help. This is beyond surgery. That's exactly what she told me. She said the doctors told her it was beyond surgery. So beyond help. Not even surgery would even help. So they accepted that. They accepted that until God moved in power and healed her. And here she is as an adult with children. And she was here. She's like, wow, I think she was just in shock. She was still just in shock. But that was 2 weeks ago. So we're going to get her testimony. Amen. We're going to get her testimony. Like, I'm going to help her with, like, let's say, because she's so shy, you know. But we need to give testimony to what the Lord does. We need to not be shy when God says, listen, the world needs to know and understand God is present, he's real, and he's moving today. He's never going to stop moving. But what blocks is him to move sometimes is people's level of faith. If it's not aggressive and it's just kind of passive, then you can be sure to receive what the enemy has promised you. But I think we've already established we're not going to receive what the enemy has promised us, right? We're casting that thing out, right? So every area of our life, this is true. Faith and glory, the realm of faith, God increasing us, it's true in every area of our lives. Now, I want to get back to the financial area because I want to share a testimony, a personal testimony. And I've shared this before a while ago. But I still want to share it again because it fits perfectly with this. And my prayer is that somebody gets that just that supercharged in faith. Amen. So those that know me personally know that, you know, I love to give. It's a gift that God has given me. I love to give. You know how, here's a perfect example. Like you will, you know, give a gift to somebody and they have to open it right now. Like, right? Like you can't wait in a week when it's your actual birthday, right? No, could you just open it now? You know, like my husband, he's having a birthday this week. And so it's a simple thing as this. He gets a card in the mail. It's just a card, guys. But it's a big card. And it looks like a photo is in that card. And it's for him. Who was itching to open it? I'm like, but I was going to let him open it, you know? And I said, do you want to open it now? Of course, I want him to open it now. Do you want to open it now? I think I'll just wait, you know, till my birthday, you know? I'm thinking to myself, great, you know? If I could have opened that thing and resealed it, I would have. Oh, come on. Don't tell me you don't open up presents and then put the stuffing back in as if you don't know. All right, confessions. But true. Here's the thing. When you love to give, right, that's one of your love languages, right? Like you love to receive too, right? Even if it's somebody else's gift. All right, I was good. I didn't open up his gift. I didn't open it. But anyway, all that's to say, I love to give. It's a gift that God has given me. I really do. I love to give. And it, the Bible tells us to be hilarious givers, right? And so we, Phil always tells the story. Man, she's giving the shirt off of her back. Well, it was a coat, not, you know, it was a jacket. But yes, I've given the jacket off my back. And it was a lot. I like that jacket too. But you know what? When I was the Lord, I'm going to focus, get back on track. So I give out of obedience, that's for sure, that is true, but then there's a gift of giving, right? So I want to tell you this testimony that took place many, many years ago, but it still speaks. It still speaks to the faithfulness of God, and it still speaks to having that aggressive type of faith. When I mean aggressive, I mean in the best of ways. I just mean that you will not let the devil steal anything. I just mean that aggressive in the form of strong and powerful, right? Like you're just not going to roll over and play dead. Not on my watch, devil. Sorry, that day is long gone. There was a day, but that day is long gone. Okay, so I received a $20 bill. How many of you know the testimony? You do. So I received this $20 bill. Somebody gave me a $20 bill because I was praying for her. I'm like, why are you giving me money? I'm praying for you. You don't need to be paying me to pray, you know? And she goes, no, I really want to give. But it was the Lord, though, because she goes, no, I really want to give you. I want to, you know, plant a seed. I said, well, if you're going to plant a seed, then let's hang on to both ends of it and let's just pray. Let's ask God to multiply it. So we did. We prayed, asked God to multiply it. But then I did something with that $20 bill and I just sowed it, right? I just put it in the offering basket. And right, Pastor Vijay? Yep. And then from that, and you got to understand, everything I'm going to tell you here, it wasn't like, well, then 10 years later, you know what I mean? It wasn't like, well, then, and, you know, she waited, you know, like until like, my goodness. No. This was all like back to back within a matter of a few weeks. And then the last one was in a matter of a couple of months. So we're talking within a very short time frame, this all took place. So $20 bill, we pray. We pray for God to multiply it, and he does, right? I received then $200 from someone. She came, and she's like, I really want to bless your ministry. I had just started out. And she said, I want to bless you. She gives $200. My immediate thought was, how can I give this? Where should I give this, right? And so, I mean, it just wells up within you, right? This, like, how can I give? Where should I give? Like, I was ready, all of it. Like, not just, I'm going to give 20%, you know, 20%, 10%. No, I was like, I want to give this, right? And so I immediately, the Lord told me how and where, and I obeyed. Obedience is key, right? And then from that, God multiplied it again. And he multiplied it to $2,000. To $2,000. Now, we can see the increase. We can see the increase coming, right? And so from that $2,000, I paid the bills that we needed to pay, and then I made an offering, tithed and offered an offering, so both the tithe and the offering from the $2,000. Why? Because we want to be faithful to always plant and to sow and to give. Why? Because the faith of God that he had given me was driving this whole thing. Amen? And so from the $20, then the $200, and then the $2,000, I kid you not, this happened once in our whole life. We go to the mailbox and we open up this envelope and we see a check. It's a big envelope and we see a check in there for $200,000. I am not kidding. I wouldn't kid. I wouldn't lie. I couldn't believe it. Phil and I were like, what? Oh my goodness. Like, then it was all like my, it was just a, it was a settlement from something my parents, they were involved in. And there's a, we want to give you a portion of it. And we were not even aware of it, but God was aware of it. And there was this whole like growth process of seeing the hand of God move from $20 to this huge, enormous $200,000. Now that's an increase. That is a huge increase. We paid off all of our debt. And the awesome thing was, is I had been teaching the kids, you know, and I was telling them, you know, because there was like time to learn how to, it was for math, we were writing checks and learning how to, you know, how to write the check, the actual check. How many of you guys still write checks? Does anybody write checks anymore? Yeah, well, I still write checks. But anyway, I was teaching them how to write the check. And I put in the place where you write their name, or you write the store's name, whatever, pay to. According to your faith is what I told Michael to write in that spot. I go, here, Michael, normally you write the name, you know, whoever you're going to pay. But in this case, we're going to write, according to your faith, it shall be done. That's how we signed the check. The one that I was teaching. Very shortly after that, I received the according to your faith actual check in the mail. Y'all following? One was a lesson. One was the actual application. I mean, it spoke out. We have to understand, when you have faith to speak something, mountains are no problem for God. When you have faith, and you know that faith's going to move that mountain. Oh, is it ever going to move that mountain? It'll move. Phyllis is not true. He's... What? No wonder I want to open the envelope, she says. I'm pretty sure it's going to be a picture. I think it's going to be a family picture of all of them. I'll let you know what it ends up becoming. But we'll be happy with the picture. What do you think it's going to be, Phil? Maybe when I go home tonight, I'm going to open it. It's your birthday, Phil. I can't open your gift. You were ready to wait. Please. Just going to pray about it. So you know what the truth of it is? Is that, yeah, so we paid off debt. Lord said, I want you to buy a Mercedes. We bought a certified used Mercedes. Yeah, I bought my guitar. And we tithed. And we gave offerings. And guess what? We have never, ever, ever. God has been so faithful. There's no lack. God continues to supply. All bills paid. God is faithful, and he continues to be faithful. If we would just take God at his word and say, Lord, I'm going to put you first, and I'm going to have faith to do what you've called me to do, even though in the natural it doesn't seem right, like in our natural minds. But you know, we're not called to walk in the natural minds. We're called to walk with our spiritual minds, the mind of Christ. Amen. And so he's faithful. He is so faithful. We've never lacked. Why? Because faith and obedience. Faith and obedience, which goes hand in hand, literally will open up unto you the realm of God's glory. And there is absolutely no lack, not when it comes to healing, not when it comes to deliverance, not when it comes to finances, not when it comes to anything, anything. Do we have faith to receive this tonight? There are needs that we all have. But I'll tell you, the more that you stand firm on the promises of God and realize faith, obedience, and then the realm of God's glory, you're going to be ushered into this realm of more where your own stories, you're going to speak those testimonies, and it's not only going to be just for you. You're going to infuse other people with faith that will change circumstances in their own lives. And you're going to have to stand up against people that think you're being careless and irresponsible. That's what I was thinking. Irresponsible. There are going to be people. I was told I was irresponsible because of the way I would give. So I just stopped telling them how I give. You don't stop giving. You just stop telling them. He got it in the back row. No, seriously. Seriously. I'm not going to mention names. I'm not going to mention names. But, yeah, we do. And so, yeah, he stopped. I'm not talking about my husband, for those that, but others. They stopped with, well, I mean, this is what I first was told. Yeah, you may have faith to give, and maybe you're okay with it. Maybe it's a gift to you, but your poor husband, he's got to worry how to pay the bills. Like, your giving is crazy and, like, irresponsible. So clearly it's not Phil, right? But I'm just saying, like, so what do I do? Because it was stressing the person out. I was stressing the person out. You know the people that raised you? You know the people that raised you? Sometimes it's like they're like, who did she become? This can't happen. This cannot be taking place. And you're like, man, I just need them to know who I am because we're not close. Let me just say, I was so excited to share. What are you doing? Your poor husband, you know. I'm like, he's fine. Oh my get us. What? We're good, we're good. No, but seriously, they're like, I can't believe, you know, that you're being reckless in the way you give. You've got four kids, and you know, Phil has to work around the clock because you give too much, you know. It's like, just blame. Does anybody understand what I'm talking about? Is it not just me? It's not just me, right? I mean, we love them, but, you know, everybody has a different measure of faith and a different understanding. But no, you guys, you're not giving outside of what God has told us to do. We give as the Spirit of the Lord teaches and tells us. I want to read Hebrews 11:1. Because it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. And it says it's the evidence of things not seen, correct? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Some people get stuck on the word hope, and they don't realize what that word actually means. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. That word hope, you want to know with hope, what kind of hope we're referring to here? That, did somebody say yes, please? Sorry, I just have the giggles tonight. Like, yes, please, get on with it, will you? That's how I heard it, but I'm sure it's not how you meant it. Man, it's a joyful night tonight. Okay, hope for means joyfully and confidently expectant. Wow. Yeah, I will say it again. Hopefully and confidently expectant. Wow, that completely is different from how we normally think what the word hope means. It's like, I hope. But there's a lot of lack of faith in it, a lot of desperation. Like, oh, no, not at all. That is not at all what that word means. When you look up this word here in this verse, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, that which you joyfully and confidently expect. Wow. So now faith is the substance of things that you joyfully and confidently expect. And it's the evidence of things that you have not yet seen. If you're confidently and joyfully expecting something, that takes hope to a whole nother level, doesn't it? That's the kind of faith. Now faith is that. That kind of faith is what we're called to walk in. And you know, when you start walking in that kind of faith, when you start walking in that, and when you start verbalizing that kind of faith, is when you lose lots of friends. But they were really never your friends in the first place. People don't understand you and they think you've lost it and it doesn't make sense to them. And so they try to help you out by telling you that you need to kind of come down from cloud nine, but you tell them, no, you need to come up to cloud nine actually, because you're the one living in here on earth realm when we're called to walk up higher, right? I know, I'm preaching to the choir. You're all like, yes, we know, we get it, we got it. Thank you, Jesus. And it's true. Well, every good and perfect gift comes from above, right? And so in James 1:17, it says, every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change. He doesn't change. So every good and perfect gift? Yes. Every good and perfect gift is literally coming forth from the Father. It's coming down unto us. It's good and it's perfect. Say, it's good and it's perfect. And it's a gift from my Father. That's how we're called to walk. We are called to walk with a joyful, confident expectation that my hope is in Christ, and every good and perfect gift comes down from above. It comes from the Father. Amen? And he delights in the prosperity of his servants. Psalm 35:27, he delights in you, in your prosperity. He delights in the prosperity of his servants. Psalm 35:27. For those that are writing it down, He delights. He takes pleasure. He delights in us. And we know Deuteronomy 8:18. He gives you the power to get wealth. He gives us power to get wealth. Amen? So when he reveals the realms of glory to you, it is not so that you can keep walking in the natural realm or in the natural ways. It is for you to recognize, wow, I really am called to something higher. When he said to Moses, come up higher, when he calls unto us, when he said to John, right? In the Revelation, come up higher. He is calling us to come up higher. He's calling us to expect what the world does not expect. He is calling us to expect things that are beyond the natural ability to expect. Increase in your faith. Let God increase your faith. As you joyfully and confidently expect God to move. We can all do that, right? We can all say, Lord, and some of you may need to say, Lord, I don't know how, but I trust you to open up my understanding and my desire to receive more. Some of you just need to ask. Some of you are not you're not accustomed to asking. That used to be me. Never ask for anything. But I was raised that way. And you know, when the Lord started to show me in Christianity, you're walking, you know, as a Christian, it's completely different. Like, we are called to ask. We're called to come before him, not with a heart of, oh gosh, it's all going to be for me, right? Obviously, heart's motives, always the most important thing. When your heart is sold out to Jesus, he says, I want you to ask. He says, I want you to ask. I want you to seek. I want you to knock. The door shall be opened unto you. He tells us that in his word, when we ask, when we seek, when we knock. But he says, ask. Some of you don't have. You're not walking in the fullness because you're not asking. And I'm not even just referring about money right now. I'm actually talking about in any area. Confidence, security, understanding of who you are in Christ. Understanding how your presence in a certain place brings such change and such incredible depth and value. Not for you to walk in somebody else's shoes, but you to show up in your own. You really need to understand what I'm saying here. This is not just about healing, and it's not just about finances. I just happen to use some examples of that. But in every area of your lives, God wants us to literally rise up in faith and grab hold of what's ours already. And for some, you're not used to asking. You're used to just be happy with what you have. That used to be me. But God has taught me, ask. And if you ask God for bread, he does not give you a stone. When you start to see your Father, your heavenly Father, as a good, good Father, one that wants to lavish the abundance of all of heaven upon you, when you start to understand the relationship that you have with him, any natural relationship that used to keep you from really fully coming into a relationship, that all kind of goes by the wayside. And you recognize, no, I actually have a Father that's beckoning me to come before his throne. And he has gifts that are waiting for me. And some he gives even without the ask. But he wants us to grow accustomed. Ask. But when you ask with the right heart, the right motive, right? So that you could be a blessing to other people. So that you can walk in the fullness of who you are. So that you go about literally being a woman or man or woman filled with faith. It's going to help somebody else walk in a new level of faith. Amen? Amen.